It's actually the same passage that Becky and Michael just read. Michael and Becky, in that order, rather. We'll reread just a couple of verses out of that passage, but the children may be dismissed at this time to Children's Church. And as they're going, if you would turn to Luke 1. And we will read at verse 26. If you would stand with me in honor of God's word. I debated telling this morning because somebody said, this has nothing to do with the message, by the way. Miss Louise told me a joke the other day. And she did give me permission to share it. But somebody commented on the tie that I was wearing today, and I was thinking about all the red that's in the audience as we're celebrating Christmas. And she had seen a tie the other day. She said it reminded her of a story of a pastor that came to church wearing a tie that was much too long. You've never seen that before, I'm sure. But there was a lady in the church that decided to help out the pastor with that, and it just really bothered her. So she got a pair of scissors from the kitchen and came up to him and said, "Pastor, that just bothers me so much, and so I'm going to help you out with it." And she took that pair of scissors and cut the tie to length. He had a square tie at the end of it. A little bit shocking, but she said, she felt a little bit bad about doing it. She said, "Pastor, is there anything about me that you would like to change?" And he said, "Why, sure," taking the scissors, "stick your tongue out." So thank you, Miss Louise, for... Oh, my. Well, it's at this time of year that we rejoice in what Christ has done for us. And if you will look again, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come once again before you. We come before your word. We don't stand over it. We stand under it. We thank you that you have given us your very best. And if you've so freely given us Christ, how will you withhold anything? Lord, I pray this morning that you would take your word, that by your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would quicken it to our hearts, that you would overshadow us here, and that you would drive your word home deep into our hearts. Encourage us, strengthen us, exhort us, Lord, towards love for you, and love for one another. And I pray that you would enable me to preach as we come here to worship. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning, before we have communion, on how to make the most of Christmas. How to make the most of Christmas. And there's really three words. You'll catch them as we go through here, but the very first word is rejoice. Rejoice. That's the greeting that Gabriel, God's messenger, comes to Mary, and he gives her a word right off the bat, and she's shocked by it. Now, your Bible may say greetings, and I guess that's a good way to say hi, hello, but the word is charizai, and it means rejoice, tidings of great joy. What he's bringing her right off the bat is good news. Now, I want you to think with me about Mary. Mary is not expecting this at all. You see, God's plan often comes unexpectedly. Not that we shouldn't expect it, for God had prophesied. We've been reading all month the verses of prophecy in the Old Testament. The fulfillment's in the new. God had promised his people repeatedly, over and over, that he was sending a son, a savior, that who that man would be, that he would be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father, the prince of peace, that he would rule and reign forever. And God had done this repeatedly, and yet to Mary, this was unexpected. Mary is planning for a wedding. I don't know about you, but ladies, I've never had to plan on the ladies' side of the wedding. You know, men's side of planning is pretty much, yes, whatever you want, honey. That's, you get asked lots of questions, but it's, hey, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. that's the men's side of planning. But for women, it is, it's a chore. Mary is planning for the day. She's betrothed. She's engaged. She's looking forward. The next surprise in her life that she's anticipating is the day that, in that day and age, that culture, oftentimes it was a time where the woman who is betrothed to be married, they must be ready at all times for their bridegroom to come, because the bridegroom was at home preparing a place in his father's house, usually, or on his father's land. He was preparing a place for he and his new bride, and as soon as it was done, he was going to go and get her. And they were going to have a wedding celebration. And then they were going to move home and enjoy being married. So for the woman, she had to be ready at any time for her bridegroom to come, to return, and to get her. That's what Mary's anticipating. She's looking forward, and she's making plans for when Joseph comes and says, "Today's the day, honey. We're going to get married." It's a little bit different in their culture than in ours, but that's how they did it. She had her plan. She was getting ready, but God changes them. God intervenes. God's purposes and plans, though announced long before, when they're revealed to us, they often come as a surprise. They often come unexpectedly. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, there are probably times in your life when something happens and it was a shock and a surprise to you when it occurred. It was not what you were planning. And you may wonder, where can God be in the midst of this? Where can God be in the midst of reorganizing my life? Where can God be in the midst of this news from afar? Where can God be in the midst of this event that's happened in my family? And yet oftentimes, what the Bible declares, all the time, God is sovereign, and all the time he's working in order to bring us closer to himself, in order to draw us to himself. For Mary, God comes through his messenger Gabriel and says, "Rejoice! Good news! There's something special that's going to happen in your life. You found favor with God." But it was unexpected favor that she found that day. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're here because, that's where you go the day before Christmas. Family tradition. But maybe the Lord will meet you here. It might be unexpected. You won't be prepared. What do? You rejoice. You rejoice. Now, she's not rejoicing yet. We'll see that in a minute. But the good news is that you rejoice. You see, the good news of the gospel is not something that Mary was seeking out. She was not running around arranging her life as she's trying to prepare to be married to Joseph, saying, "Okay, let's see, I'm counting down the days, and let's see, I know the Messiah is supposed to come. He's supposed to come to somebody in the line of David. Well, that's me, and he's supposed to come, and it's supposed to be, there's this timeline here, and let's see, he's supposed to come, and I guess it'd have to be to somebody that's," she's not expecting any of this. It's not even in the farthest reaches of her mind. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we were not expecting what God would do on our behalf. You and I were like sheep that had gone astray. We had gone our own way. The Bible says we're stumbling around in darkness. In this season, people are seeking for joy. They seek for joy in all sorts of different things. They may seek for joy in relationships. They may say, if I can just get engaged to that person, or if I can just have a child, or if I could just have a relationship with this person, or if I can just get to know this person a little bit better. Some people seek for joy in relationships. And what that is stumbling in darkness, because true joy is not going to come through relationship with another person. Oh, that can be a source of joy, but true, lasting joy, the joy that is characterized here by this word to Mary, rejoice, only comes through a relationship with God. Some people seek for joy during this season and significance. They're looking for significance in their own life. Maybe it's in their own accomplishments, their own achievements. Purpose, maybe they throw themselves into their work, or they throw themselves into a project, or they throw themselves into building a name for themselves. But joy, if that's where you're seeking for joy, you're going to find joy comes unexpectedly. Because joy only comes through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If some people seek for joy, not in relationships, not in significance, but maybe in wealth, the material things. You know anybody like that? Oh, growing up, I always looked forward to gathering around the Christmas tree. And we would read the Bible story, the Christmas story, but as a child, I was really looking forward to getting into those gifts under the tree, discovering what was really there, right? Tearing off that wrapping paper and seeing, and it was always a joy and a surprise, and it lasted for a little while until the newness wore off. And yes, I was grateful for what I received, and maybe I'd use it in the days ahead, but I can tell you right now, the things I received as an 8-year-old, I can't remember them. Maybe you can, I can't. I can't remember what I received as an 8-year-old, but I can remember the greatest gift I received, the source of true, lasting joy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Mary was seeking for joy in a relationship with Joseph, but God's joy for her would come through the gospel. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're looking for joy, significance, in significance or in relationships or in material things, but true joy only comes through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And she wondered, what is this saying? What is this manner of greeting? And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. Where's her joy going to come from? Where's her source of rejoicing? It's going to come from grace. That's what this word means, favor. He's saying, Mary, you found favor with God. Maybe she had sought to please the Lord, but guess what? If you look through all the list of qualifications that she had causing her to find favor with God, you're not going to find it there. There's not a list. Why did she find favor with God? Because God is gracious. God's grace sought her out. She wasn't seeking it. She was not running around saying, oh, Lord, may I be the one to give birth to your son. That's not what she was seeking for, but that's what found her. And you see, there's a lesson to be learned here for you and I. God's grace is unmerited. God's favor is not something that we've done to earn. It's not even something that we've sought after. It's something that he has freely given to us. It's something that he has freely offered to us. And it comes in the form of a person. Look with me in the next verses. He says here, Here is what you're going to have. Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. What is that favor? Well, it's not just some nebulous thing that's out there. He defines the favor that you found with God, Mary. He says here, behold, you will conceive in your womb. You'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus. God's salvation. Savior. The form of favor that he has found is that he is offering her the Savior of the world, her Savior. What does she have to do in order to earn God's favor? Well, in this passage, she does nothing other than one thing, and that's receive it. She asks, yes, how can this be since I do not know a man? And the angel says to her, well, I'll tell you how this occurs. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and the power of the Most High is going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive in your womb. And therefore, the thing that's in you, that holy thing that's in you, shall be called the Son of God. What's happening to Mary is a foreshadowing of the gospel for you and I. You see, for Mary, she did not seek it, but it came upon her. For Mary, she was not looking for it, but God announced it to her and said, here's the message, Mary. Here's the good news, Mary. I'm going to give you something that you weren't even seeking for, something you didn't even know you needed. It's going to be a source of great joy, and all you have to do, here's your second word for today, is receive. That's all she does. She asks, yes, Lord, how's this going to be? But she's the recipient of God's grace. She's totally on the receiving end, and God describes to her how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, overshadow her. That's like a picture of salvation where the Holy Spirit comes upon in conviction, and he begins to move in a person's heart, and he begins to stir them and cause them to realize, I'm a sinner. That's all God's grace. It's not something that we seek after on our own. There's none that seek after God. And yet he moves upon us. The power of the Holy Spirit comes and overshadows her, moves upon her. And the power of God stirs within her and bears within her this Christ child. It's a picture of the gospel to you and to me, that we receive God's grace. All she says is, I'm the servant of the Lord. I'm the Lord's handmaiden. Be it unto me according to your will. Well, what is this that she's received? She's received the Savior. She's received the Son of God. Look in verse 32. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. She's received a sovereign. She's received a ruler. One who gives her direction and protection and peace in her life. She's received the Savior, the Son of God, the sovereign of all creation, who will rule upon the throne of David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob. And she's received a sure end of his kingdom. There will be no completion. That's the gospel, folks. Are you with me this morning? The Lord Jesus, born of a virgin, taking on human flesh, is offered to Mary freely. All she does is say, yes, Lord, be it unto me according to your will. To you and I, the Lord Jesus has been offered. He's been offered to us. Not of any merit that we've done, not of any works that we've done. We haven't done a thing to deserve it. In fact, as we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, we've done things to not deserve. We've run the opposite way. And yet, he comes to us in his grace, and he freely offers himself. And all that's required for us in salvation, all that's required for us to receive the joy of the Lord is simply to say, yes, Lord, be it done to me according to your word. The Holy Spirit then moves upon us, drawing us first of all to himself and then filling our lives. And the power of the Lord is what regenerates us and bears within us life anew. We're recreated from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, what does all this have to do with finding joy in Christmas? It has everything to do with finding joy in Christmas. This is the message of joy, that you don't have to go working in order to find God's favor, but he says, I have found favor with you. We didn't deserve it. Mary didn't deserve it, but he declares, I find favor with you. I find you accepted because of my son, and I'm going to give him to you. Rejoice. For unto you has been given the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the good news of the gospel, just as Mary is told to rejoice that the Lord has come to her. We receive the person of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, by placing our faith and trust in him. And then we worship the glory of God in the gospel. That's what Mary does. How do you have a Christmas of meaning this year? You rejoice in God's plan in the gospel. You receive God's unmerited grace in the person of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, you worship God's glory. You worship God's glory revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me down in verse 45. Mary's gone to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has said, why should the mother of my Lord come to me? And she says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul, verse 46, magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And you go through there, and what she does is she worships God. She praises God for because of his great goodness to her. She recognizes, I'm lowly, I'm humble. There's nothing that I do that would cause him to draw towards me, and yet he did. And he gave me favor. He gave me great grace. He gave me his son. And she worships. Now here's something that you'll find in worship. When you lift up your heart to the Lord and you say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I wasn't planning this. This wasn't my plan of salvation. Thank you that it's your plan of salvation. I wasn't seeking after it. Thank you that you sought after me. When you do that and you rejoice in that, and then you receive the goodness, the grace of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it moves you to worship, here's what happens. When you worship God, he fills your heart once again with joy. Why? Because that's what you were made for. It's like the songwriter said, old Charles Wesley said in the hymn, And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me to him who death pursued? Amazing love. How? How can it be that thou, my God, should come to this earth, should become one of us, should die for me. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace. He emptied himself and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? How do you have joy in Christmas? You remember the good news. I'm going to ask Randy, would you come to this table? Kenny, would you mind coming to this table? You remember, you rejoice at the good news that God has declared to you. You receive God's grace. You say, thank you, Lord. I didn't do anything to deserve it, but thank you that you came and you, amazing love, you died for me. And then you worship. This morning, we're going to worship by coming to the table, the Lord's table. The purpose of Christmas is not fulfilled without going to the cross. And it's at the cross that we remember that Christ died for our sins, that he shed his blood. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we're healed, that he shed his precious blood for our justification. That his body was broken on our behalf. What we're going to do this morning, if I could have... Gary, would you mind going and getting the nursery and the children's church? And while they're making their way over, we're going to do this as families. And if you're here by yourself, somebody's going to come and put their arm around you and say, come with me. And we're going to come to the table. As you see a spot open, you come and partake. Here's how we're going to do it. First of all, the table is open to any and everyone who has received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and followed him in believer's baptism. Now, if you have children here this morning that have not taken those steps, here's what I would say. Use this as a time to pray with them, to tell them why we do this in remembrance of what the Lord has done for us, and to encourage them. The table is for believers. If they've not taken that step yet, just pray with them and tell them, here's why we do this. Use it as a teaching time. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and the elements will be here on the tables. And then you come. You come with your family to the table, and you take, the deacons are going to hand you, and you take of the bread and the cup, and then you go to one of the sides, and you pray, and you thank the Lord personally. Use it as a time of personal worship. Thank him for what he's done for you on your behalf. That he's saved you, that he's freely offered this to you. And thank him, worship him, rejoice. And then go your way rejoicing.